This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out again, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. And I'm happy to be with you folks up there wherever you are. And we got a couple of new broadcasts. One over in Fort Smith, Arkansas. Let me hear from a couple of you folks up there, some of you who are hearing. Maybe you're hearing for the first time. Maybe you've heard the Old Trailblazer years ago. Maybe you've heard the Voice of Truth broadcast with Pastor L.R. Shelton. Let me know if you're hearing up there in Sweetwater, Tennessee, and over there in Fort Smith, and all up and down the East Coast there in Appalachian, Virginia, and Maryland, and all of those places. If you're hearing the Old Trailblazer, write me, let me know, or email me. My email address is pastor@radiomissions.org, and then my website, radiomissions.org, and I'd like to hear from you. But let's get back into our study this time. We're in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and we're looking at Sarah. Oh, Sarah, she judged him faithful who had promised. Isn't that great? She judged him faithful. Are you trusting the Lord, my friend? I asked folks in our last broadcast, are you ready to die? Well, I don't want to hear that blood and guts religion. I don't want to hear your bloody religion. Well, my friend, are you ready to die? Did you know that man is going to die? Every man who's ever born going to die except those who will be living when Christ comes. Oh, my friend, but listen, we don't want to face reality, do we? We want to see the like the old movies we used to see when I was a kid, old B movies, and the boy gets the girl and they ride off into the sunset. Oh, my friend, that's not reality. That's not reality. Man's going to die. You're going to die. I tell my folks here, get ready to die. I tell them, first of all, make sure you got a place to bury you so that we don't have to bury you. Make sure the church don't have to take up money to bury you with. And then I tell them to get them a spot where they want to be buried. But listen, more so than that, the spiritual side. Are you ready to die and go out to meet the Lord? Are you ready to meet the Lord? But Sarah judged him faithful. Because she had judged him faithful was in her heart and in her mind, and she just reached out beyond the promises. We saw that in our last study. Her faith did not rest on this little promise here and one there. No, it reached all beyond that. And many times, as you read the Bible and search the Bible, search those pages, those truths will stand out. But as they do, you see beyond the promiser. You see beyond the promise. If you don't, then you're trying to work up a faith to lay hold of this promise, and you'll try to build up a faith and pray up a faith and work up a faith and lay hold of this promise. But if you can see beyond this promise to the promiser, the God of the resurrection, and by faith lay hold of him through his promises. That's where you lay hold of the Lord, through his promises. That's what Sarah did. She judged him. She reckoned him. She accounted him faithful. And that's what faith does, counts him faithful. The Bible says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Isn't that a gracious statement? Listen, forever, back of every promise is the faithfulness or the promiser himself. Back of every promise is the promiser. Back of every promiser is the Lord God himself. Now, let me get honest and serious with you for a moment. The promise isn't worth the paper it's written on if you doubt the veracity of the promiser. That's the reason I asked you, do you believe God? Well, I believe there's a higher power. No, that's not salvation. That's not even funny. That's a cop-out. I believe in a higher power. No. Listen, take any promise out of the Bible. It isn't worth anything at all. It isn't worth the paper that's written on. If you doubt the Bible, if you doubt that God lives, if you doubt that God is able, if you doubt that God is willing to save you, if you doubt that the Lord is able to work all things according to the counsel of his will, there's got to be that trusting in the veracity of the promiser. God will do what he says. Have you ever come to that the Lord will do exactly what he has said? Have you ever read the promises of God, all the promises of God, my friend? Oh, but listen, we have that book here by Mr. Lockyer, the All series, and one of them is All the Promises. All the promises of God. Oh, it would do your heart good to have it there where you can read and study it. You can't separate God, the promiser, and his promise. No, you can't. But counting him faithful, you believe the promise. You look past the promise and look to the promiser. Just like in the secular life, you have someone that, that you have confidence in. He tells you something, you believe the promise. He says, I'll be there in the morning at 7 o'clock to help you with that job you had going. And you look at it and you look at inside, you say, that's old Joe. He's true. He never lied to me before. He never broken a promise before. I can count on him being here. It's not the promise you look to, it's the promiser. And I've had that happen many, many times. Now, you have people you can't depend on. I know I have that. I have people, well, borrow $10 and I'll bring it back Saturday. Well, Saturday don't ever come. But my friend, if you believe the promiser, that's all that matters. Now let's go back. When you reject the promise, you do not count him faithful. When you throw his promise over your shoulder, that's what you do. When you won't take his promise, the Bible says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, well, I can't believe that. I can't believe the Lord keep me. Well, you throw it over your shoulder, and you don't believe the Lord. It's not that you can't believe the promise. You just can't believe the promise. You have no faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, no confidence in him. But once that individual lays hold and he believes God himself, hell can't shake him off of that promise. Now, I grant you that. God verifies that written promise, in the heart and life of the individual, that faith may waver and falter, but it will supersede a heart of unbelief. It will rise above human nature, rise above human impossibility. It'll rise above all human reasoning. It'll rise above that heart of unbelief. Oh, my friend, the heart of unbelief. I believe the Lord hates unbelief worse than he does any other sin. I do. I just believe that because here is we have the Bible. We have the account how the Lord came here, born of a virgin, died on the cross, shed his blood, and you won't believe it. You foo-foo it. You ha-ha. Oh, look at that old religionist over there. Old church member. Look at him over there. No, you won't believe it. But my friend, that's true. Listen, and those things, I guess they laughed at her, but listen. The old woman, I declare, is going to have a child. Oh, my friend, I'm sure her friends laughed at her. It was sacred to her. But listen, I want to tell you, my friend, these promises to us are sacred. They're sacred. Have you ever got a hold of that? Have you ever looked at that and said, my, what a fool I am. I never realized that the promises of God, the words of God, they're sacred. They're put there for you and for me. And they're sacred. They're not to fool with. They're not to laugh at. Not to ha-ha and go on. But listen, others may laugh. But Sarah's going to have a child. And then they laugh at the old man now. He's got a hold of something. He's going to do anything with. And you and I go off in the corner. But listen. These are sacred things, my friend. God's word is a sacred thing. And I hope you don't make fun of God's word. They call them Bible thumpers. I hear some of these guys on the television, on the radio, these commentators, and they call a born-again person, they call them a Bible thumper. A Bible thumper. Oh, my friend, they'll just have to wake up in hell for their sarcasm, won't they? Now, every awakened sinner, when he takes God at his word, he looks to him. That's how you get saved, my friend. Well, I thought that Jesus would come down and speak to me. No, that's not true. I had a woman tell me recently that she laid on her bed and somebody was choking her and she woke up and she began to pray and Jesus pulled him away from her. No, I told her. I said, that's demon possession. That's nothing but demon possession. And that's what we have in our little book, Demon Possession. Just got it back from the printer. It's a gracious little book. We'll send it to you. If you write me, let me know. And then we also have the book on divine healing, true and false, free and false paid. And I'll send it to you without no charge. It will. It'll bless your heart, and it'll expose all this stuff that's going on today. All of our televangelists and all of our great so-called great television preachers, mega churches, and all they study about is the money, my friend. If you'd follow the money, but this we find here that when God saves a sinner, I really believe, that the first thing He does. It begins to believe the Lord. He might not say anything about it. He might not spout it off. But deep down in the recesses of his soul, he begins to believe the Bible. Begins to trust the Lord. Did you know what salvation is? Trust in the Lord. You get up in the morning, trust the Lord. Go to bed at night, you trust the Lord. Well, I know I'll have somebody call me and say, well, I just can't trust him. I just don't believe. I just, no, you won't. It's not that you can't, you won't. And I tell you this, until that spirit is broken in you, you won't never get saved. You'll just bust hell wide open. That's right, my friend. I've had folks write me and call me. Well, how can I get saved? Take the blame. Take the blame for what? Take the blame for everything. You're to blame. You're a sinner. You don't have any hold on God. You don't have no lock on the Lord, my friend. Listen. We've got a perverted knowledge today. We think we can command God. These folks say, well, I command Jesus to cast out this demon. No, that fella will wind up in hell if the Lord never stops him and awakens him and opens his heart and let him see. But listen, when you begin to trust the Lord, then you find out that God can't lie. That faith which God has given them will rise above everything. When the Lord gives us that faith, it'll rise above it. And I challenge every one of you this morning that if you'll take this promise and lay it down at the throne of God's grace and look to him, he'll verify that promise in your heart. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much unbelief is there. I don't care how much doubt and everything there is. I challenge you. Take that promise, lay it down at the throne of grace, and look to him. Just look to him. Look, Lord, here it is. Lord, you said it. I lay it down there. I come trusting thee, Lord. But listen, I want to look at the fruit of faith in our next study we're going to look at. And that was the fruit of her faith, Isaac, one born out of death. Out of death. Oh, we're going to look at that in our next study. I praise the Lord for these notes and studies and on the 11th chapter of Hebrews, don't you? Oh, they're all available on CD. You write me, I'll quote you a price on the whole set when we get through. And if you feel like you could use them or like to have them. But I asked you this, would you pray for the old trailblazer? Would you remember my mailing address? Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. But listen, let me just ask you, would you pray for the old trailblazer? You say, well, trailblazer, I can't help you with our money. I can't help you with a nickel. But you can pray. You can pray. You got a mouth. You can pray. You got a heart. You can pray. You don't have to even open your mouth to pray. But if you would, ask the Lord for the old trailblazer. And then when you have prayer service in your church there on Sunday evening, probably, ask the leader. So, Mr. Leader, would y'all pray for the old trailblazer? We have people call us all the time wanting prayer. Sick folks and lost folks say, bring my name before the church. And we do that. We call their names out in the church. And so if you would, continue to help me with the broadcast. We're still asking the Lord for money to go on a radio station in the next several months. And it's begun already. Folks are turning out. So if you do that, remember, the old trailblazer loves you. Don't get mad with the old trailblazer. My heart is big as a pumpkin this morning. I love God's people. And remember my mailing address, the old trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. Goodbye.